Susan Ashton, a great reminder here early in the morning. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. Great words from Jesus in Matthew 6:33, a chapter and a verse we've already covered in best 5 minutes of the day as we read some scripture at the tail end and check out our buddy Jason Kanz's devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved. He's on the line. Good morning on a snowy Thursday.
Good morning.
So we do this 5 minutes together, and then we live another 23 hours and 55 minutes, and we reconvene. So how has your last day been?
Work was just, I didn't really want to be there yesterday. And, I have days like that. I have a wonderful job. I love my job. I think we all have that where we have days where it's like, I would just rather be at home laying on the couch, reading a book or watching television. And yesterday was one of those days for me. So nothing particular. That just is kind of how the day ended up.
Yeah.
And came home, and that's exactly what I did. I put on some pajama pants and laid on the couch and watched television.
My wife and I watched three more episodes of a show you were one of several highly recommending, Kim's Convenience, last night. So
good. Such
it is.
A good show.
It is.
I have been thinking I should go back and watch some of that again.
It is. It is good. Great acting, and it's just kind of uplifting and, I don't know, funny, the whole deal. Yeah, that was kind of the way you described that was my this morning where I just – you and I both talk about loving the mornings and all that, but it was just like this morning, I'm like, I don't want to get out of bed.
Yeah. That happens.
It does.
I think it's good to name that we have days like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we have a challenge here. Romans 12, verses 4 through 8 is what we have before us. So you got it for us in the New Living, right?
You bet.
Okay.
Yeah, let me read it. It says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly.
And in your devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved, Romans 12, 4 through 8 reads like this. Consider the human body. Though it's one unit, it has many different organs and functions, each contributing uniquely to the greater whole. So it is with my church, which includes multitudes who possess distinct gifts, personalities, and abilities, all of which are important. I have called some to speak prophetically, some to exceptional service, some to teaching my word, some to speaking convicting words, some to generosity, some to leadership, and some to exuberant mercy. Whatever your gift, offer it back to me by loving well. Final thoughts.
Yeah, I think that final line there really is, you know, the gifts that we've been given, and we're all wired a little bit differently, are all opportunities to love. And I think if we can remember that that's our high and holy calling, that really helps us to use those, I think, in the way God intended.
Yeah, that is good stuff. Is there one, like for me, I feel like my distinct gift is encouragement. Do you?
Yeah, I would agree with that about you. I think that for sure is the gift that you possess.
And it's interesting.
Know.
It's like a hose you're spraying. I mean, you know, you want to, so you just feel like, hey, this lawn needs to be watered. But yeah, how about for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I was in Colorado, I think the word heal or healing comes to mind. That, you know, thinking in terms of providing a spaciousness in which people can heal, I think is really fits with what God has called me to.
There you go. Well, our friends at OneFest posted a question yesterday afternoon. They said, question, what is your favorite Christian song of all time? And I'm not going to have you answer it, but I know that the song I've got up here. So I said in the thread, I said, hey, be listening for these songs tomorrow morning on WIB from 5:30 to 9 in the WIB Wake Up Show. We had Sonic Flood, Open the Eyes of My Heart. And next up, Knowing You, I Know You Love This Song, Revelation Song. How about that?
Oh, man, that's such a good one.
Next up this morning, Maverick City Music, led into by Sharon Hirsch. I've had a chance to interview her in the past. I love her book, The Last Addiction. She's written a book more recently on belonging. She says the other night she went to her second Maverick City Music concert in Atlanta with her friend Rachel. And she says, I don't worship them. The concert's not an event. It's another way to meet Jesus face to face, heart to heart. It's hard to describe. Sharon says, I was in a room full of people from the South when I'm a Coloradoan through and through. She says, people with different life experiences and certainly better fashion sense than I'll ever know, and with generations of trauma I cannot fathom, but God. Standing in the State Farm Arena with Atlanta Hawks banners hung from the ceiling, we sang in unison, silver and gold, oh, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. No fame or fortune, no riches untold, oh, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Sharon says, there was no talk of politics, denominations, the right theology, or earning favor with God. No one urged us to do more, try harder, be better. We sang, wept, danced, and worshiped into the delight, adoration, nurture, care, and embrace of God. Don't be fooled by statistics about empty churches and people leaving the faith, says Sharon, but keep your eyes open for another way. All the things that save us. The God of all glory has always used such strange ways, mangers, murderous tyrants, rowdy prisoners, and raggedy worshipers to bring good tidings of great joy. Thank you, Jesus, for promises that you can be found in the dark, in the brothel, in the face of a friend, in the heartache, in the powerful unity of a group of strangers gathered at a hockey arena pledging, I'm going to wait on you. Sharon Hirsch, thank you for that beautiful introduction to the group you saw in concert in Atlanta a couple nights ago. Maverick City Music taking us to weather.
Ain't no sunshine.
We need sunshine.
It's getting to be that time of year, seasonal affective disorder, right? Where it's like, we're just not seeing the sun as much. And there's beyond just mental health. Actually, getting more sunlight could decrease your risk of cancer pretty significantly.
That's interesting. Yeah, that is really something. A UK researcher says that less than half a minute's exposure to the sun's near-infrared light between sunrise and 9 a.m. may offer a higher level of protection to adults and kids.
Just 30 seconds of sunlight each morning. Stepping outside during these times could cut the odds of developing cancer from a 1 in 2 chance to 1 in 10. That's significant.
It's interesting because on the other end, there's a lot of concerns like too much sun.
Yeah, not too much. So again, it's right. You know, these times of day, but yeah.
Kind of a Goldilocks, just right. The NIR light, which is invisible to the human eye, is at its most effective at dawn, with its beneficial effect gradually waning throughout the day as the human body becomes less responsive to it.
Absorbing it in the early morning prompts the body into releasing a flood of melatonin, a natural antioxidant twice as powerful as vitamin E that neutralizes toxins and prevents cancer-causing gene mutations.
Huh.
I think this is fascinating. I mean, and again, if you're going for a morning walk and put the headphones in and listen to us here, I mean, I think your day is made.
There you go. I tell you, I am one of those guys. I mean, it's just such a difference. You know, the sunshine, the blue sky, it just lifts your spirits, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So, anyhow, missing that. And, you know, on top of everything else, the cold, the snow, the ice, the challenges of the winter, the cloud, that's up there. I can be challenged. Seasonally affective disorder, as you mentioned, the sad, I can certainly face that challenge. So
you know what? Get out, get some sunlight, and see what happens. The big day is 1 week away. And, you know, there's a lot of, I don't know if you'd call it urban legends or myths out there, like how many calories does the average person actually consume on Thanksgiving Day? As again, it's a day of giving thanks and day of family, friends, and, yeah, feasting as well, too. So maybe you've heard this, that Americans typically wolf down 5,000 to 7,000 calories on Thanksgiving Day. But as always, research puts that to the test and says, is it true or not?
Yeah, that's right. And so here's the deal is Tara actually was skeptical about this. Tara Parker Pope. And so she cooked up a highly indulgent Thanksgiving meal, including 6 ounces of turkey with crispy skin. 299 calories. Sausage stuffing. That sounded good.
That does sound really good.
310. I just had a little stuffing on Saturday at an early family Thanksgiving, but wow. And a well-buttered dinner roll. 310 calories. My goodness.
Just for one dinner roll.
Wow.
Worth it.
Who knew? And then what comes after that?
So again, this is Tara from the New York Times. So she's saying, okay, how many calories are all these things worth? So a fattening sweet potato casserole, that's 300 calories, a serving of that. But mashed potatoes with gravy and butter, only 140 calories for that. I can get 2 servings then. And a few greens and cranberry sauce, 208 calories before all of that.
Now, no surprise, dessert was the killer, naturally, with pumpkin pie. But tell you what, 316, I've seen donuts with more calories than that.
Yeah, the pecan pie was 503.
No wonder it's so good.
Yeah, and then if you add whipped cream, which of course
you got
you have to.
It's
that's
illegal
another 100
not
calories.
To.
Yes.
Yeah.
But again, she added all of this up and said, well, that's 2,486 calories. So where are we getting this 5,000 to 7,000 calorie intake on Thanksgiving Day?
Mm-hmm. And,
now,
yeah, go ahead.
I mean, you might say, again, if you had a big breakfast, but where's the rest coming from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the stomach size and nausea would make that a toughie. So the 5,000 to 7,000 calorie may well be an exaggeration.
But some of you may be saying, Miss Pope from the New York Times, you're not taking into account having a second plate or perhaps a third plate or another Thanksgiving meal after you've had a little time to rest and recuperate from the first one and you get those leftovers right away on the same day.
Well, and people have been known to have a second piece of pie. So
Yep, pretty much.
We're all about words. I'll have to get out that song from Hawk Nelson here this morning, but apparently some new words in the official Scrabble dictionary, huh?
Yes, so if you're stuck and need some help and say, hey, I need more words with Z's or X's, here's something to help you beat your friends and family and loved ones.
Yeah, that's right. So explain more.
Well, so if you enjoy Scrabble, you know how contentious a game can get when it's tight, when it's close, and a player plays a word and other players challenge that and say, okay, is it really a real world? Is a real word, rather, is it in the official Scrabble dictionary?
Right.
Well, the official Scrabble dictionary is a bit more nebulous because it is constantly adding words, and they have just informed us and the world at large that new words have been added.
And you've looked up some of these, so here we go. Some of the words are bae, B-A-E.
So that's often used to describe someone's significant other, like a boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever, and I think it's before all else. I think that's what it is, which, again, don't put a person in that position, but, yeah, my bae is another way of describing,
I had not heard that before.
Oh, okay.
Then what else?
Vax with one X or with two X's. Mm. You can really, really nail somebody on that word.
Now, I'm just trying to think because I had there's regular Scrabble and then I had like this expanded version that goes to quadruple words. And so but typically, I don't think like how many X's are there in a Scrabble game?
I thought there were two.
Okay. Well,
I thought there were two. So if you happen to have both of them
at the same time. Or maybe playing off of
which
it
is
on
funny
the board.
Because in Bananagrams, you usually don't want the Z's or the X's. You want somebody else to get those. But in Scrabble, you want them for sure.
Another word that's added is dox with one X or two.
Yeah. And again, that is basically it's an online thing. A lot of these coming from online, too. Uh-huh. But to dox someone is to publish private information that defames them online. So,
don't
if you
do
dox
that.
Someone, don't do it. Use it in Scrabble. Don't do it in real life.
All right. Next up.
More words from the new updated official Scrabble Players Dictionary, a zonkey. That's kind of what it sounds like. It's a cross between a zebra and a donkey. Huh. Apparently somebody decided that was a good idea, but it did make a new word where you can use that Z. What's a Z worth, like 10? So,
this zonkey. Is making me want to play, Caleb. How about dumpster? Dumpster's a new word?
That's what I cannot figure out.
Yeah.
How is dumpster a new word? I'm
that's
wondering
crazy.
If that's some sort of a typo. Ambigram, I didn't know what that is, but ambigram is basically like kind of a form of calligraphy, I think, where words are almost like hidden in there. So like you look at it in different ways and then see, oh, there's another word kind of hidden in there. So ambigram.
Ambigan. You looked that one up.
Ambigan, yes. So that actually came from the long-running TV show, The Simpsons. Mm. They first made up that word. And so ambigan is like enlarge. So it's like, oh, ambigan. It sounds like something a toddler would say. Ambigan that cake.
Okay.
Ambigan. Evidently is now a real enough word that it's in the Scrabble Players Dictionary. So you can use that.
All right, a couple more.
Adulting.
Uh-huh.
And deepfake. So again, adulting, it's like, okay, you grow up and it's like, hey, I did my own laundry, made my own food. I'm adulting now. And then, of course, a deepfake, that's kind of one of the scary things online, too, that people can really create photos, things that never actually happened, but it looks incredibly real. That's a deepfake. So again, don't do that in real life. Use the word in Scrabble, though.
The things you learn on the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIV. This is our own mini version of Prager University.
Right?
Unfolding. All right, we end up talking a lot more football and sports off air than we do on air. We're both big sports fans, and yet this is, 100,000 watt Christian FM, and so it fits into Caleb's sportscast, but really doesn't spill out into a lot of other segments, but this is
an exception.
We try
not to burden you with it, but this is human interest.
It is, because tonight it's Packers and Titans. And Their newest Hall of Famer for the Packers, Leroy Butler, is going to be recognized. I just want to begin. This is, as big a Packer fan as you are, you weren't necessarily aware of this, that Leroy Butler, born in Jacksonville, Florida, where he was challenged by physical problems which forced him to wear leg braces and use a wheelchair at times during his childhood.
Yeah, I had no idea about that part of his story.
However, he overcame his disability and was able to excel at high school football, later played for Bobby Bowden, the late great Bobby Bowden at Florida State, and you know the rest of the story. What a standout Packer, right?
Oh, absolutely. And again, the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, and now my favorite Packer when I was younger growing up, Robert Brooks. Of course, he had a lot of Lambeau Leaps and even recorded like a Lambeau Leap album as well, too. But I mean, that famous iconic play, the first Lambeau Leap, I believe it was a fumble, Reggie White lateraling it to Leroy Butler, and number 36 takes it into the end zone, out the back of the end zone, jumps into the stands on that cold and snowy day in Lambeau, and the rest is history. But Leroy Butler afterward, like, he's kind of stayed in the public eye. He does some radio work. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of charity work. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I got to meet him at a Walmart when he was making an appearance here in Halley several years ago, and that was... He could not have been a nicer gentleman. Just fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. He wrote a book. I had him on my front page show about 20 years ago. It was 2003. And so a great guest. And I think it should be a movie. I mean, a kid from the wheelchair to the Hall of Fame. I mean, how many people have that as a story?
Eat your heart out, Forrest Gump. This is real life.
I know it. So anyhow, looking forward to that. But you and I, we may be busy tonight. You're doing high school hoops.
Yeah. Headed over to Marshfield. And one other thing I do remember, like one of my best memories when I got to meet Leroy Butler. Because again, this was a guy I grew up watching.
Sure.
It's like, this is so cool to meet one of my, you know, favorite Packers from those great, you know, Super Bowl years too. But I told him, this is when Cooper was very young, and I said, well, I named him Cooper in part so that when he grows up to be a football player, the crowd at Lambeau could say, Coop, just like George Koontz, you know, that played when you were playing, and he dapped me up for that. So I thought that was pretty cool.
And later John Kuhn, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, for sure. That's cool. I had not, I didn't remember hearing that backstory on Cooper's name. So anyhow.
That wasn't the only reason. It's just... But it sounded good at the time.
There you go. I'm a big Brewers fan. The team of 82, Cecil Cooper. So, all right. Well, that's going on tonight along with the game. So, but bigger and more important information than that. I got word from Keith this morning, one of our great listeners there in Owen. Thank you, Keith, for your words and your message this morning. But then also saying, he says this. He says, got a message from my son, Adam, this morning that my five-year-old grandson, without prompting, prayed to accept Jesus last night. What a thrill.
Praise the Lord.
And it turns out, I think that today, it was a year ago today, that Keith's wife, Vicky, and of course, Adam's mom, the grandmother of the little grandson here, that Wyatt, that she had went to be with the Lord. So again, as we celebrate this receiving of Jesus and asking the Lord into his life, the best song I can think of is not one that you typically hear throughout the week. It's one that you more likely hear during Clean Country with Rod and George Sunday nights from 7 to 10. But I got to say, Caleb, it's the best one. It's the first one that came to mind for me.
Yeah.
The Gaither Vocal Band for Wyatt. That's when the angels rejoice on Whip.
At the completion of the Golden Gate, no, the angels did not celebrate. And when the right boys blew their shouts were heard. There's only one thing that we're sure about that can make those angels jump and shout.
It's when a sinner makes the Lord's choice.
That's when the angels rejoice.
Now when the light bulb first lit up the town, no, the angel did not dance around.
And when the man stepped on the moon, they didn't say there's only one thing that we're sure about that can make those angels jump and shout.
It's when a sinner makes the Lord's choice.
That's when the angels rejoice. Now heaven doesn't strike up the band for any old occasion at hand.
It's gotta be a special thing,
a special thing
to make those angels sing.
Now when the Model T first hit the screen, it did bring all heaven to its feet.
And when the first computer was born, they didn't go on Gabriel's home.
very good. Boy, I was loving that song, and I'm sure you were there. And my correction, it turns out it's Shiloh who prayed to receive Christ last night. So celebrating with the Westerby family this morning here on WWIB.